the Song Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of one of China's most fascinating dynasties. Episode 19, The Zen of Porcelain. In this podcast, we're going to look at how porcelain became an essential part of the lives of the people of the Song Dynasty. I'm Bob Jones, and in this Why We Love the Song Dynasty podcast, I'm throwing the spotlight on what was to become one of China's most iconic dynasties in the country's long and colourful history. So, we know that the time of the Song Dynasty was very prosperous, and that its people liked collecting things together, feathering their nests, you could say. You might expect that this newfound wealth would translate into grandeur and extravagance. Think of the Victorian era in England, for example. Yes, we see this in things like the tea ceremony. At the higher levels, where the best tea was expected for the emperor, served in the best crockery and in the best surroundings. But the word best here maybe should be understood as appropriate. In many other aspects of the Song society, a sense of appreciation of simplicity was the order of the day, this attitude finding its roots in Confucianism, Taoism, and Buddhism. Simple was beautiful. The demand for nice things, and nice things to go with nice things, boosted manufacturing and craftsmanship. Making porcelain was no exception. During the Song Dynasty, kilns were built all over the country to satisfy demand, and that demand was for monochromatic, glazed, functional simplicity. Song porcelain is beautiful. Beautiful because of its high quality and because of its gentility. It is unadorned and elegant, as well as perhaps inspiring reflection, contemplation, and mildness. All attributes that have come to describe the Song society. It's all about Zen. Let's touch on Zen for a moment, shall we? In the West, it's taken on a bit of a momentum of its own. In finding a mass appeal, it's maybe lost sight of some of its roots, which the Song Dynasty, of course, would have been much, much closer to. Zen is not a habit. It's not simplicity. It's not a state of peace, a state of mind. A minimalist aesthetic, living simply, a destination, or being in the moment. Zen is a school of Buddhism that originated in China during the early Tang Dynasty. It's about observation of oneself and assessing the true nature of things. So, you can see how this appealed to the people of the Song Dynasty. There are various anecdotes recalled by Song writers which highlight this simplicity in Song society. One recalled a discussion between Emperor Zhezong and his Prime Minister Lü Dafeng about ancestral domestic discipline for all emperors in the Song Dynasty. This advocated etiquette, generosity and kind-heartedness, diligence and conscientiousness, being modest and embracing the advice of others, not seeking pleasures in playthings, nor using extravagant things like jadeware. There's a similar story where once Emperor Runzong was sick and a visitor to his imperial resting chamber found, to his surprise, there was only some plain porcelain and lacquerware. Likewise, Emperor Huizong once wanted to use jade cups and plates at a banquet, but he gave up on the idea because he was worried that he would be blamed for being extravagant. and of course what the emperor did, the entire imperial family of the Song dynasty did, and on down through the different levels of society. So there were no ostentatious objects in the household, no unusual or precious things. When it came to porcelain for the court, the rule was minimalism. The Song loved porcelain that had simple shapes, simple lines, but was good-looking and had no complicated and redundant shapes. They also favoured porcelain that was of a single colour or shade, monochromatic, perhaps with a jade-like glaze, which focused the eye on its delicate and plain qualities. Essentially, no distractions. In addition to that, there was consideration of the clay itself. That had to be simple too. Think of the idea of a person's inner and outer appearance. It had to be good inside as well as outside. Some kilns exemplified this Song dynasty minimalist style to a T. Let's visit one of them, the famous Ru kiln, produced items for the imperial court. Fewer than 100 complete pieces survive, and if ever they find their way to auction, they command prices of many millions of US dollars. Most have a duck egg blue glaze, like the blue of the sky in a clearing among the clouds after rain, as one contemporary connoisseur noted at the time. They are undecorated and come in various shapes and include brush washing dishes, cups, wine carafes, small vases, and incense burners. It was the first ever official ware, specifically commissioned for the imperial court, which kept the best and then gave the rest away as gifts to officials, temples, and foreign rulers. The Ru kiln ended production when the barbarians moved in. There were actually about 20 sites of the Ru kiln. They were on flat terrain and surrounded by the mountains, with creeks to the west and the south. The major raw materials like coal, wood, and agates for manufacturing Ru porcelains also had to be nearby. Let's appreciate, if we can, just one piece which typifies the products of the Ru kiln. Let's observe, like the people of the Song dynasty, appreciate the simplicity, examine the nature, the soul of the object, see it as an exercise in mindfulness. Porcelain Zen. Are you sitting comfortably? Let's begin. Clear your mind. Take a look at the sky blue, crackle-free narcissus pot. See how it is free from crackles, the marks often formed by the different drying and cooling rates of the clay. Their absence shows enormous skill. It's the colour of sky after rain, a gentle, peaceful blue, maybe a hint of jade green hue. The whole vessel is oval in shape with a flat base and four cloud-shaped feet. The glaze colour is even and bright, with pink visible at the mouth and other places where the glaze is thin. There's a trace of six support pins revealing the beige-grey clay body. And relax. Many of these fine pieces of porcelain only exist because they were carefully collected and valued by later generations. Emperor Yongzheng of the Qing dynasty, for example, displayed his antiques and curios on a special shelf. There was a narcissus pot which was unhelpfully once described as a dog food bowl, suggesting that people weren't the only ones to enjoy the porcelain of the Song. The other two pieces were a Ru kiln 3 feet tray, which is now in the Palace Museum in Beijing, and which has an engraved poem on it written by Emperor Yongzheng's son, Emperor Qianlong. There is also a greyish-blue teacup, which you'll now find in the British Museum in London. Let's dip back briefly into the Song dynasty's tea culture. The popular way of tea drinking in the Song dynasty was to put tea dust into the teacup and then pour boiling water over it. When drinking, teacups were to be used with a holder. As a result, all kinds of holders made of different materials were produced at the time. The rarest holders among all famous kilns are those made by the Yiru kiln, followed by the Ding kiln and the Southern Sung official kiln. Like tea, flowers, and just about anything else that the Sung used to enjoy, porcelain inspired poetry. Since so many artifacts have now been lost, these poems form a valuable part of our appreciation on Sung sensibilities. Lo Yao, a poet in the early Southern Sung dynasty, once wrote a verse about a new gall-shaped vase made by the Ru kiln. Such vases were specially used for arranging flowers in the Sung dynasty. It's still to be found in the National Palace Museum in Taipei. The whole vase is full of crackles, with a beautiful shape and with one circle of scraped glaze in the centre of the base, along which a poem written by Emperor Qianlong of Qing was engraved. This gall-shaped vase is similar to the sky-blue lotus design gooseneck bottle unearthed at the site of the Ru kiln. Qianlong had a bit of a habit of inscribing things, all sorts of things, precious porcelain pieces, paintings, or even buildings that he visited. He clearly liked to make his mark on history. So, what are we to make of this Sung passion for porcelain? It's important to keep in mind that they admired simplicity and functionality as key. The ostentation came in the shape of the functionality. No way you can say that the Sung tea ceremony is in any way simple, although it is functional. Absolutely no good if you are in need of a quick, refreshing cup of tea, though. Many of the products of their kilns may not have survived to the present day, and some of them have been adulterated or adapted by later generations, but their form and design and beauty have endured through the centuries. Special thanks go out to San Lian Zhongdu for their help in making this podcast. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time.